So we have Vinny today showing, talking to us about fears, which is so helpful. I'll read the prayer and then we'll play the recording. God, please enable me to see the truth about my fears. And try to remember to say those prayers. I tend to forget, but it helps a lot. Thank you, and I'll turn it over to Vinny now.
Well, good day, everybody. God bless you all for being here. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and my name is Vinny, and I am recovered from that hopeless state of mind and body. And what I have today is a daily reprieve on that relationship. So we're going to talk about fear today, but before we do so, I guess the most important thing is to discuss how we get to this fear. We write inventory, right? Coming out of our third step, the biggest problem that I had was resting on my laurels. The biggest problem for me is not the drug, wet or dry. It's not, most importantly, it is not the actions of whatever chemical I'm putting in my body. So it's not the addiction. It's not the eating. It's not the drugs. It's not the chaos creating. It's not the controlling and fixing. That's a result of my illness. That's the results of my disease. Some people say I'm not at ease. Dis-ease, right? Separation. I think it was Don Pritz that said separation from health. When we look at this, we're really looking at not the symbol, right? Our big book tells us the alcohol and drugs was but a symbol. We're looking at what is alcoholism. And it's found on, I believe, page 62. Yeah, 62. First paragraph, it says selfishness, self-centeredness that we think is the root of our troubles, driven by 100 forms of fear, 100 forms of self-delusion, 100 forms of self-seeking, and 100 forms of self-pity. And if anybody has done the fourth step inventory, that is our fourth column. We think it's the root of our troubles. We step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that sometime in the past, we have made a decision. There it is. There's the decision we made based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. It says it in black and white right there. They arise out of ourselves, and the addict slash alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot. And that's a beautiful statement for all our chaos creators, controllers, and fakers, because we're extreme examples, completely sober, of self-will. If we're an extreme example of self-will run riot, though we usually don't think so, and then here's the statement. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of selfishness. We must, or it kills us. So it doesn't say our usage kills us. It doesn't say the chaos. It doesn't say the drugs, the alcohol. It does not say the food. It can, however, it can. This is all relative, right? But God makes that possible, and there often seems to be no way entirely getting rid of self without his aid, capital H. Doesn't matter if you have philosophical convictions galore. Doesn't matter if you're religious. It doesn't matter if you're spiritually connected. If you're the real deal, running on self-will, you will be chaos. Extreme example, run riot. Okay? We're on page 62. Third step, first two paragraphs. I'm reading that for a perfect example because this is why we write inventory. But most of all, this is why we're looking at the fear, right? Because if you look at that first paragraph, fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. Fourth column, four paragraphs. Four paragraphs on your fourth column. Sometimes when we read that fourth step backwards, if you haven't done so, please read it backwards because it paints a beautiful picture of your story, of your resentment. And it should all fall in alignment, reading it backwards, right? And when we read it backwards, we see that fear is the underlying root. So this is why fear is so important. This is why the Big Book Awakening, thank God for our predecessors, thank God for Don Pritz, Matt Jeter, thank God for Mark Houston, Joe Hawk, especially Dan Sherman, Tyler Colton, and Pat T, Michael K, Pat B, so many others that had brought this message to me so I could bring it to so many others. Because we take the fear and we make an inventory of the fear itself. So if you're doing your resentment inventory and it doesn't include a fear inventory, it's not done. It's not done correctly, right? So what do we got in our resentment inventory? We got our resentments, right? Towards people, institutions, and principles. Principles we don't worry about so much if you're first time going through because your sponsor will show them to you in your first fifth step, usually between the security, the sex relations, and the personal relations. That's where the, just a little tidbit, that's where your principles start to pop off the page, especially with somebody's help. So when we look at these resentments, that's one part of the fourth step. Then we look at our fear, second part of the fourth step. Then we look at our sex ideal, sex inventory, right? Third part, or you could even say the sex inventory is a third part and the sex ideal is a fourth part, which I like to say. I drag it out because this inventory is life-changing, life-altering. No shortcuts here. Okay. I'm just trying to be thorough, guys, so bear with me. All right. So if you look at the Big Book Awakening workbook, hopefully you guys have that, and you turn to page four of the Big Book Awakening workbook, it gives a complete rundown of your fear inventory instructions. Not that I'm gonna guide you any different than the instructions are, so I'm not gonna spare, I'm gonna spare you, I'm not gonna read all of that. But it gives you very clear instructions of what to do. I want to let you know right off the bat, I'm going to share the experience I've had with the Big Book Awakening, the inventory of the fear grid itself, how I got to the fear grid, because there's work that I have to do before I even get to the fear grid. Okay. That's the work that I've done for my predecessors. Okay. So you have the columns on the bottom from A to F. And it backs up where the Big Book talks about. We ask ourselves why we had this fear. So the workbook is backed up extremely well from our big book. Okay. So let's take a pause from the workbook for a second and let's look at where it says it in our big book. Okay. So on page 67 in our big book, on the bottom, last paragraph, I put a little stop sign and I put on the column, here is where fear starts. So it says, notice the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mr. Jones, and the employer and the wife. So if you look at your columns, right, on your third column, you're going to have fears that are usually the opposite of the seven areas of self, all valid fears, all real, okay? So we have them. And then when we turn the page over, we also have the fear that drives the delusion that's on our back of our inventory sheet, right? And that fear may be different, or it may be repeated fear that's on the first page. That's okay. You're not doing it wrong. Has nothing to do with it, right? You're just being honest because a different page has a different experience. So what I did after I read this, Because it says this short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. And let's pause there for a second. Ask yourself the question, right? Because I turn that statement into a question. Can I see that fear touches every aspect of my life? Can I see it? And where do I see it? I ask myself many questions. And the truth is, yes, everything, right? And what my latest psychiatrist said to me a few years back was anxiety disorder, panic disorder, which is real, is fear extremely run riot. Anxiety is fear. Okay, just to let you know, panic is fear. We get caught in a fear loop, and the fear loop does not get broken on its own. Sometimes some people it does, and it takes years. And if anybody had my experience, insomnia comes with it, therapy comes with it, medication sometimes, sleepless nights. And some of us stay in that loop, and we call the stuck loop, right? You can be free of that. I was free of that. I was free of panic. I had a panic disorder. I am free of it. I had an anxiety disorder. I am free of it. I'm in a place of neutrality. Do I get anxiety? Do I get fear once in a while? Yeah, I do. Do I get stuck in a loop once in a while? Yes, I do. It doesn't last long. Something shifted, something changed, right? Not only with this work and having an experience with God, an awakening, if you will, but also with therapy, biofeedback, CBT. EFT, I could go on. There's a list of stuff we could do outside of the scope of the Big Book Awakening, Big Book, and AA. There's plenty help. And the Big Book tells us to seek that help. And if you're not seeking that help, ask yourself why. Sit with God alone and just ask why. Why am I not seeking out help? Because the Big Book suggests you do that on page 133. So you could always reference that to page 133. If I was not seeking help, as the big books describe, especially with fear, I had to ask myself, is that self-will run riot again? Ask yourself in quiet time with God, is it self-will? For me, it was. Okay, so continuing on the bottom of page 67. It was an evil and corroding thread. Thread. Think about a thread. Think about a thread of all your clothes, a single thread. Then it says the fabric of our existence was shot through with it. That's powerful. That's bold. Take those words with all seriousness as you can. That's powerful. Okay? It's set in motion. Trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. Because if I'm in the place of fear and I don't do the work to get out of the fear, how I respond to people is from that fear. So, of course, I'm going to be bedeviled, right? Because I'm stuck in self-will, run riot. I refuse to get outside help. I refuse to take the help inside. I refuse to do the work it takes to get through it. So, I'm an extreme example. Self will run riot, of course. Why wouldn't I? That's the only way I know how to operate. Then it says, but did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? There's the question. So take that question, highlight it if it's not highlighted, and sit with God and ask that. Did I set this in motion? Now, we're not talking about trauma or molestation or whatever craziness that has happened in the past, right? Because some of us are victims. I get that. I was too. Molested, beaten. I got raped. I was abused more than once. It's what I did with that. Did I get help so I didn't treat everybody else the way I felt? And the way I got treated? Not talking about forgiving the people. That comes with a different step and that comes with a different sort of help. But am I carrying that fear, anger, and resentment for what happened to me years ago? And I not let go of it? Can I let go of it? Those are questions you ask God in silent prayer and meditation. Am I holding on to those old behaviors that happened to me, that were taught to me against other men, other women, other parents? Right? That's what I look at, especially with the fear. It's very profound. It's very powerful for me to do that. So sometimes, continuing on 68, we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. Powerful sentence. Why is it in the same bracket as stealing? Because it steals your time, it steals your friendships, it steals your health, it steals your finances, it steals your whole entire pocketbook. It steals anything from self. It robs you from the child that God intended you to be. And there's where the delusion that we are separated comes from. Does that make sense? Right? So fear is more powerful than we even recognize or even put down on paper. So this fear grid inventory is not just a writing assignment. It's the ability to have a spiritual awakening if you do it. And not just listening to me or anybody else that talks about fear, because there's many good great speakers that talk about fear and the solution to it. It's about actually physically going through it with help, of course. All right. Then it says, we reviewed our fears thoroughly. What does thoroughly mean to you guys? That's another question. Thorough means thorough, and I got thorough with this. Okay. So highlight thoroughly, circle it, underline it. We put them on paper. Okay. So I put it on paper. It doesn't have to be neat. Doesn't have to be looking pretty. I put them on paper, a regular loose leaf paper, a couple of sheets, maybe three, right? There's another one, all the way top to bottom, zigzag sideways. It doesn't matter. Take a loose leaf piece of paper and list your fears, right? It's very clear, the instructions. So, reading on page 68, we put them on paper, right? A regular sheet of paper. What are we putting on? Our fears, the ones we review thoroughly. So, they're going to be on your third column, right? They're going to be on your fourth column. We start there. And just a little tidbit, what I do is when our fear is repeated, I put a little slash on how many times it's repeated. One, two, three, four, a slash on it, five times, six times. The one that gets repeated the most, makes it at the top of the list. I'm reviewing my fears thoroughly. So if I repeated it 20 times, I don't write it down 20 times. I just write it down once. But it makes it, if it's the most, it gets to the top of the list. That's just something I do that the sponsors have graced me with, and an idea and a way to perform it on paper so it really, really emphasizes what I'm looking at. Okay. So we ask ourselves, wait, let me back up. So we put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. There's the second fear. Okay. Those fears are probably not on your third column and then not on your fourth column. They have no connection with the resentment, but they're real. You have them, right? There's your second list of fears. So you got your first list, you got your second list. Okay. Then it says we ask ourselves why we had them. Simple question. That is in prayer. That's a prayerful question, right? In a contemplative way. Maybe you have to sit quiet. Ask yourself each one. It's a slow process. The fear grid is not supposed to be quick. It's not a quick writing assignment. right? And if it's confusing and uncomfortable, perfect. You're right where you're supposed to be. If you just follow the instructions, it doesn't have to make sense. All right. So after we write that list, so we got two columns, right? We have third and fourth column fears. And of course, we emphasize the repeated offenders to the top of the list, right? The most repeated. Then we have all the fears that are not in connection, right? Then, in a contemplative way, we have to ask ourselves, this is what I did, do I have the opposite of that fear? Just consider it. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Don't beat yourself up about it. It's a pretty simple process. Consider it. And if you say yes, put it down, right? So if I have a fear of success, I also have a fear of failure. If I have a fear of losing a relationship, I may have a fear of gaining a new relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a love relationship. Okay? It's a fear itself. So please contemplate that. Then it says, wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? So the fear is, it takes root in our present day agnosticism. Okay? So let me back up to the second step. Fear gets rooted in the present day agnosticism. What does that mean? Rely on self, I have fear. Rely on self with work, I have fear of promotions, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of whatever, right? I rely on self, I fear this new relationship. That's what that means. All right. And then it says self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. If you're the real alcoholic, it never goes far enough. Some of us, oh, we get another one.
I'm on
Elaine,
Stacy.
if we can mute.
I don't know.
Thank you. It's okay. Stuff happens. Happens to me. Happens to the best of us. So, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem. Self-confidence. Some of us have really good self-confidence in certain areas, but it never fixes the fear problem or any other fear problem. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so if we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. That's the bridge to shore in the second step when we come to believe, right? And it's also a decision that we make in the third step moving forward that we're going to be thorough. We're going to place this on paper, whatever it is. We are in the world to play the role, capital H, he assigns us. Just to the con extent that we do as we think he would have us and humbly rely on him. He would have us. Right? So that's an open-ended question. How would he have us? Most of the times, it's how would he have us be, not do. And sometimes, if we sit quietly, we would have to do some things. But mostly, it's a being, right? We're human beings, so he wants us to be and humbly rely on him. Humbly relying on him means I don't have the answer. I need help, and I'm going to ask for help willingly and comfortably. Does he enable us to match calamity with serenity? It's a promise. Okay. So, in the position, because it's going to happen, it's happened to me. In the position of pure chaos, even if it's something that you created or something that was created around you, when we are met with these fears and give them to God, we will meet calamity with peace. And I'm sure some of us have already had experiences with that. I know I have. So that's a beautiful promise. We never apologize to anyone depending on our creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is faith means courage. All men and women of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let him, capital H, demonstrate through us what he can do. There it is again, capital H. What he can do through us, not what we can do. We ask him to remove our fear, capital H again, and direct our attention to what he would have us be. There it is, not do. Another capital H. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. This particular grid sheet enables us to move through the fear and reconnect with our creator, or connect with our creator with the fears like we did with the drugs and alcohol. Right? So, kind of like in the first step, when we get to the spirituality, wouldn't we want to have this in our lives to change our perception instead of just being sober and miserable? Right? It's talking about life, it's talking about selfishness, self-centeredness. And we all know if we have done this work, and if you don't know and you're doing this work for the first time, selfishness is the root, right? Driven by 400 different forms. With that is our illness, alcoholism. What is the antidote to alcoholism? It talks about it throughout the book. It's working with others. Intensive work with others to oppose the selfishness of being alone. It's not prayer and meditation, guys. It's not prayer or meditation. Prayer and meditation is great. But the antidote to this is to get out of self into service, specifically intensive work with others. You may not be there yet, but you're on your way. And if you are there and you did do this work, that's another topic for God and you to sit quietly in prayer. Why am I not doing this? Okay. So now I'm going to write down this long list of fears, right? We looked at third and fourth column, right? I put like a if I'm going to guide somebody, objective one, write down your third and fourth column fears. Objective number two, repeated offenders, the most offended to the least gets the top of the list, right? So the most offended to the least. Objective number three, not associated fears, fear of falling, fear of death. I don't even care if you have a spear of fighters, spear, fear of spiders. It's kind of redundant, ridiculous to some, but if it's a fear, put it down. I don't care. I'm not here to oppose that. That's between you and God. So after the first three objectives, right, the fourth objective is we consider the opposite fears. And that in itself takes probably a week or two for me. The first time took me a week or two because I'm contemplating, I'm sitting in prayer and meditation. I'm talking about it with other people who have done this work. I'm asking about the fears. I'm in conscious contact with God all day long. Why do I have this fear? Why do I have this fear? Not obsession. I'm talking about a compulsion to be thorough. Even have a little notebook with me and I chop stuff down because I don't know if any of you, when it's in my head and I don't write it down, I'll forget, right? I write them down. If you have a phone, have a notepad. I have a notepad in my phone too that I clock everything down on. So just little tidbits there, right? So now that I got this list and I studied it a minimum of 3 days to a week and a half, I got this long list. What do I do with the list? That's where the fear grid comes in. Right in column A, I'm writing the list all the way down. Most important fears, right? The number one offenders all at the top. Third and fourth column fears. Opposites considering, right? Not associated fears. Write them all down. And a couple of our workshops back, say three or four workshops back, on Friday mornings, we had a gentleman that took 8 pages and stapled them together. And that's how much fear he had. He was being honest and thorough, right? Some of us have to do that. There's no wrong way to do it, is to get your fears down in the first column. If you don't have another list, make another copy. Staple it down. And if you don't have to staple it, you don't have to tape it, but keep on making those lists. That's the first directions. Even if you read the workbook on page four, it says that your list A all the way down, right? After that, after I'm done and I have that list, now in a prayerful way, in more consideration, more prayer, right? I'm going to ask myself why I have that fear. I'm going to be very honest with myself and very clear, right? And it's very simple. We complicate it. I'm not going to say we don't. That's okay. I complicated the first two of them until I got to a spiritual waking after the third one I did. And now I'm trying to guide people to go through it the way I went through it, the best I can. My hope and the host's hope is for you to have a spiritual experience with this that you may guide and teach others with it. Okay. So if you go back to page four of the Big Book Awakening workbook, we're going to look at that example on the bottom. Okay. Column A, I listed all my fears down. And the first one they used is maybe it's their number one offender, right? Maybe it's the one that was repeated 50 times. I'm afraid of being not good enough. It's an honest fear. It was on my list too. It wasn't my top offender, but it was in the list. I'm going to sit in a prayerful way. Why do I have this fear? And it's not an obsession thought, it's a God conscious thought. Well, I'm afraid I'm not going to be good enough because I'll be unwanted. It's pretty honest. Okay, why do I have this fear of being unwanted? Well, then I'll be alone. I'm afraid of being alone. Okay, makes sense. Me too. Next, why do you have a fear of being alone? In a contemplative way, ask God. Don't ask somebody else, ask God, right? What does that mean to you? The next thing, emotional pain. Some of us, when we're alone, go through emotional pain. So did I. That's a pretty honest answer. Okay. Now we're going straight across, right? From column A column Z, if you have that. It doesn't have to stop at column F. It could be a column Z for you. Okay. So let's not get that misunderstood about the columns across. That's why people paint them, I mean tape them and staple them 5, 6, maybe 10 pages. Then we're going to ask ourselves again, why am I going to have emotional pain? Why am I afraid of that? Because if I'm painfully emotional, I might drink again, and I'm afraid of drinking. That's an honest fear. I'm with that, right? And then what happens if you're afraid of drinking? Now, this one says, well, I'm afraid I'm going to die. Maybe spiritual death first, right? For me, it'll be a little bit different because after I'm drinking, I'm afraid I'm going to lose everyone. Then the fear after losing everybody would be a fear of hurting people. And then the fear would be, yeah, I'm gonna die. And then I ask myself, why am I afraid of death? Because I don't know what's after death. Maybe I believe in God. Maybe I even know God exists. But the unknowing of the afterlife is so painful and scary. I don't know what's gonna happen to me. Right? But the list goes on. All the way until we get to a place of what I like to call self-reliance. Right? So I have to see my fears. I have to see my fears carry me all the way to a place of there's no God or self-reliance has really failed me. And then there's no God. Because maybe I'm very Catholic, very religious, and if I run on self-will long enough, God don't want nothing to do with me. He's going to punish me, right? If anybody believes there's a punishing God like that, there's all kinds of possibilities. You have your own experiences. That was mine at the end. Okay, my first one. So what does this look like? It's a writing assignment now based on emotions, feelings, thoughts, and prayer. Right? It's not intellect once you understand what you're doing. It's based on emotion, feeling, thought, and prayer. Most importantly, prayer and God. Because I have to see this. I have to see where each fear brings me to. Okay? So, let's pause there for a second and go down to the next one. What's the next example? Fear of not being trusted. That's an honest fear. I had that too. Why am I afraid of not being trusted? Well, I'll fear that I'll be disliked. That's an honest one too. I have a fear of being disliked. Why do I have that fear? Well, if I'm disliked, I'll be alone. And then it repeated. You see how it slashes it, they cross it out. And then it's blank because it follows the same diagram of the one above. Some of them do that, not all of them. And if I'm being completely honest, the majority of them do not do that. They're a separate entity, they're a separate fear. So a lot of people, they'll fall into the habit, well, oh yeah, next one down, afraid of being irresponsible. Well, if I'm irresponsible, then I'm afraid I'm going to be disliked. And then, boop, they all line up again. Oh, this is an easy thing. And then they go down and they're not carrying them over. But if you look at this example, go down to the one, two, three, four, the fifth one. Fear of being disliked, fear of being alone. We had that fear above in C, but it's in a different column. It's a different fear, it's associated with a different experience. It may be a fear that's associated with a different resentment, a different individual. So it's not going to carry out across the whole column like the rest of them are, right? Because look what it says. Well, I fear of alone. I fear I'm going to have emotional pain. All right, I get it. Fear of drinking, fear of dying. That's repeated, but it's not in the same column above it. And in fear of dying, the ooh, now is the unknown. Right? So it's different. So this is not a writing assignment to get to the least amount of fears going across. That's why a lot of people get confused, and I don't want anybody to do that. Each individual fear has its own experience because if we really look carefully and we're doing this with prayer, we're going to see that these fears are associated with the resentment we pulled them off the third and fourth column. For a different reason. So they're going to have a different reason why you're afraid. You understand where I'm coming from? So you get columns to the right are going to be very different. So please don't fall into the loop of, oh, I see what's going on here. Because it's not. Each A column fear is going to have its own fears across, its own situation, because they're going to be associated with different people that you're resentful at. And if this is another key indication, maybe write this down. This is a good thing for yourself and for learning people. My sponsor, Pat T, taught me this probably 10 years ago. I'll get down, let's go down to the sixth one, right? And it says, I'm afraid of how I look, right? Completely different than the last few we just read. And then, why am I afraid of how I look? Oh, well, I'll be rejected. Well, rejected is kind of similar to disliked, isn't it? But it's not, it's different. And the reason why it's different is because now I could see, oh, I have a fear of how I look because the resentment that it's connected to was with my wife. She made fun of me because I was wearing some weird clothes. And that's where the fear came from because I was resentful at my wife. So it's going to have a completely different taste. Does that make sense? And this is what my sponsor told me over 10 years ago is once you make the connection as you're doing this fear grid, you have a connection to a specific resentment, you're going to have an awakening with this. And you're not going to see it as an exercise. You're going to see it as a spiritual experience. Because then you're going to get mad all over again for a second or two, if you're anything like me. And you're going to say, oh my God, I know where that comes from. Oh, and then you're going to have to look back at your fourth step inventory and you're like, whoa. And then you're going to maybe take some notes on the fourth column, right? Or on the side or whatever. Well, I got to add that to this. Or I can't wait to my fifth step. I got to tell my sponsor about this. That's what I did. Have a free-flowing, open mind in a prayerful way and a loving way with your creator while you're doing this. Light a candle. Get your favorite drink. Have some ambient music in the background. Try to get all your senses going. Make a date with yourself. Put it on your calendar. Make it real. That's doing the spiritual assignments out of the big book. That's what I do. That's what I was taught. I tell my wife, hey, May 15th, I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to need some privacy, maybe an hour and a half, and I'll give myself a time limit. Please give me some space. I have to do something. And then I'll get out the incense or the candle, my favorite drink, music in the background, right? My favorite pen to write with. I have favorite pens. I'm a little ridiculous, but I like fine point gel that don't smear. You hear me? Or a nice ball point pen that really flows like it's a gel. That's what I like. Yeah, I'm a little meticulous. Have fun with this. Let your emotions go with this. If you get to a point, pause, stop, come back to it later. Write a note where you left off and what you were feeling and thinking. I guarantee when you come back, you're not going to just revisit those feelings with fear and anxiety, but you're going to revisit them with courage, hope, and hopefully a good prayer. Make it what it is. Make it thorough and be completely honest with yourselves. And you continue down with this list, no matter how long it is, and don't get discouraged. I had 2 weeks to do all of this the first time I went through it. My sponsor said, if you don't have it done in 2 weeks, A, it's not that important to you. B, you're lazy and procrastinating. Or three, you're stuck in fear that won't allow you to do it. So that means you have to go back to step two and three. So I'm not sitting here telling you what to do and how to do it, but just pray. Be kind and loving to yourself. Most importantly, be honest with yourself. This really doesn't take long. It doesn't take long if you prioritize it. Okay? Prioritize it, guys. Is this more important than anything else? I don't care if I had an appointment with the dentist or appointment with my doctor or my wife wanted me to do this. This is more important than all of that. If my job calls and I had an emergency and they need me to come in, I then take that to God and say, okay, how important is that emergency? I even take, because listen, this is my life. This is my life. And I got to value what's most important here. Right? Because if I don't recover, guess what happens? Everything else is a mess. So this has to be the most important thing. And if God is the most important thing in your life, then this would be too. So I understand people fall behind or lag behind. That to me is a testimony of your relationship with God. If I'm honest, my testimony with me, when I was lazy and procrastinating, taking my time, I wasn't hanging with God. I wasn't in prayer and meditation. I wasn't doing what my sponsor suggested. If I'm being honest, I'm being honest with you guys. But when I am, this work is easy, right? It's simple because I make it important. So you got to ask yourself another question when we're done with this workshop. How important is this to you? Is this just I want to hear the audio? Is this that I'm trying to fill my head with knowledge? Or am I actually want an experience and I want to complete this? And I want to have a new and powerful relationship with God? Because that's the hope on the other end of this, is that we get to a place of the bridge to shore. Now it becomes your and his bridge. That connection is constant. But you got to be honest with yourself. Is this just a listening, or is this an actual guidance to do the work so I can have that relationship as well? That's what this is about. So I'm going to stop it right there. I think I gave you guys enough to chew on. Thank God. Thank God for this opportunity. Thank God that we got together and worked through it. And thank God if anybody got something from this to help them move forward. It's most important that you guys have an experience and a deep connection with your creator to move forward. I'll leave it there. Thank you so much again, guys. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Vinny. That was awesome. I got a lot out of it. It's not the first time I've heard you, but the more I hear you, the better it gets. Do you have time for a few questions?
Absolutely. Whatever you guys want to
Okay.
do.
Okay, Kristen or Kirsten, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. When you said emotional pain, I just like really, I use EP a lot. I have a lot of emotional pain in my life, basically. It's the way I am. Yeah, other disorders, psychiatrists, all that kind of stuff. But I even though I've done BBA before, I haven't had somebody say that I remember that. Is the spiritual awakening part when you realize that that fear is deep rooted in a particular resentment? Or if it's a multiple fear, does it tend to direct you to one particular resentment out of those multiples or what? I'm a little bit, because it feels like we're going back.
Yeah, great question. Great question. Thank you for coming in. So it brings me back to clarity of why I'm sitting here writing this fear inventory. So it does bring me back. It'll bring me back to the resentment to realize, oh my God, it's just not about the fear in front of me that I'm writing down, but there's an association connected to that particular resentment. And when I get that awakening, then I'm able to write across very easily because now I got the person, the place fresh in my mind,
So
and I know
my
why.
own resentment is actually causing that fear.
No, your fear causes the resentment.
Yeah.
Always. Always. So
Oh, I
when you
see.
look at the resentment, yeah. So when you look at the resentment now, when you're doing the fear grid, you're associating that fear with the resentment because now you could see the damage that fear did. So you're becoming reawakened, like, oh my God, I'm really doing this. There's a purpose behind this because you're getting to the root. You're getting to the root.
Okay, but I've done the resentment and I've written the fears on the resentment.
Okay.
So I know those fears are associated with the resentment, but am I trying to hone in on it's this particular fear is causing the worst pain with this. Is I don't know. Do you sort of mean?
So we're not getting, I see what you're saying. So when I'm writing the fear grid and I'm actually writing those fears across, that's why I'm looking at the resentment it caused because I become awakened to that particular fear. But it's not to get back to the reason of the resentment. It's to see that this fear is powerful and real and to carry it out across. And you'll see the fears next, the next one, a lot more clearer because you'll have the picture of the person that you're mad at that's associated with. And you're like, oh, yeah, this, well, now I'm asking myself why I have this fear. Oh, that's easy. This is because I have this fear. And it becomes an easier and smoother transition, if that makes sense. If you get stuck, that's if you get stuck when you're doing the fear grid. So, when you write your fears in the third or fourth column, that's just a beginning of seeing where the fear goes. That's just a beginning. When you put them on the fear grid is when you have an experience with really the root of the fear and the truth of the fear. And that's the awakening that we hope for you all to have. Does that make sense?
Yes, can I just ask one other question then? So as you're going along and you arrive at the same point, so maybe I've got a fear of being alone coming up under two different things. Are you saying that after that column, the following thing after alone in that column might actually be different to the previous one?
Yes.
Okay. I thought I just struck out alone because I already had it.
Right. And
Okay,
that's what
thanks.
I try. That's what I was explaining earlier. I hope to avoid anybody of doing that.
Yeah.
Because once we see the same fear, but it's associated with a different resentment, we could carry that out further differently. And it's then it becomes an experience. Not just an exercise, if that makes sense.
So we're actively trying to think about the resentments while we're writing this.
Well,
Almost.
in a contemplative way, if we get stuck on
Yeah.
a fear, we don't know why we have that fear,
Yeah.
then where was I afraid? Where did I actually have this fear? And that's when
Okay.
we associate it with the resentment, if that makes sense.
Okay,
Yeah.
thank you.
Perfect. Thank you for questions.
Yeah, that's a good question. Elaine, go ahead.
Hi, sorry, thank you. So I'm pretty new to the program, full stop. So apologies that this question is a bit out there. Within my like religious, body and such, I've done a lot of work on fears and they on one particular course they categorized that most fears boil down to three. There are three different types, and the idea was that I could use my faith to counteract them, and that didn't really help me. And I don't know. Are we going in the same direction here? Am I gonna like learn that there's this, there's a group of root fears, and is knowing that gonna kind of, I guess, help in any way? Or do you see? When it says like when we talk about a spiritual awakening, I guess I want to know what that means, or
I understand your question. Let me see if I can help you out. That's a great question, by the way. So it's partially yes, but mostly no.
okay.
Don't mean to confuse you, Lane. So yes, when we do this exercise, what we start to see, only see when we write all of our fears down, is that they all categorize into almost maybe five. Maybe three, but the end result is not what the experience is.
Okay.
The experience is seeing all those fears I have are rooted Not just and only a few of them. And then I realize that faith doesn't replace fear. Never did, never will. It's going to work with fear.
Okay.
Right? So I don't know if anybody can identify with this, but a lot of people say, oh, faith replaces fear. No, it does not. It never did. It never will. Faith brings courage to go through the fear. It doesn't remove it. The fear is always going to be there. And that's why we're always going to need God. But this exercise helps us see that we're living in the fear. Instead
Right.
of relying on God, right? Once we rely upon God, we can work with the fear. It's
Gotcha.
kind of like ego, right? A lot of people say ego has to be dead. If ego's dead, you're dead.
Okay.
You need ego. If you're human and you're alive, you need ego. What we
Okay.
really need is it in a place of neutrality.
Okay.
Okay? It's kind of like looking at my wife, my beautiful wife. She's an amazing woman. She's a non-addict. She does things in a place of neutrality that I
Okay.
have to work extremely hard to get to. She does it
Okay.
naturally. So that's where we're going. We're going to a place of neutrality, safe and protected.
That's really great to hear. Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad it helped. Great question. Thank you, Elaine.
Good answer. Zoe, go ahead. Zoe, they're here.
Is Zoe here?
I'm sorry. Why do I get you mixed up with Zoe? Tony,
Hi, Susan.
I apologize.
No problem. Benny, you kind of really touched on with these great questions a couple of things I was going to bring up. It's lovely to be in a group talking about the fear inventory. I didn't really, I never, the first time going through the work was, for me, was unbelievable. It was a complete spiritual awakening. I'm new to I'm new to BBA the way it is now. I don't know you. I came from the original group with Joe and Dan and Shelley and Jaime and Wyatt and David and Mark and everybody else. And my jaw hit the floor after working through this. I was so thirsty. I never like had any questions about why I was doing this, and it was beautiful to see that based on the human condition, I knew that not everything would be completely removed, and it was incredible. I was gobsmacked completely to see that it all boiled down when I went across the grid. To their not being afraid of there not being a God, or being afraid that my self-reliance had completely and utterly failed me. But I was relieved to know that I was still human, that if it cropped up, that I wasn't failing anything, but that enough was removed to where I could have access to that power that keeps me sober. I'm really grateful. This is happening because I didn't have any electricity on Thursday. So God's funny, because this is my regular homework group on Thursdays, and I was really looking forward to talking with everybody and hearing your experience on this. And I'm always love to learn something new. You know, because I've been through the work a few times, and it's really lovely to be reconnected connected because I moved away from Santa Monica 23 years ago and out of the state 12 years ago and got hooked up with some of your buddies in San Diego at Fellowship of the Spirit. So I'm also another thing that I've noticed every single time I've gone through the steps, and this time I'm doing it in an actual workshop because Dan at the time was creating the workshops. I didn't know Tyler. I didn't know any of you. The beauty is that, gosh, I just lost the thought. If anybody else has their hand raised, I'll come back to it. There was something I really wanted to share, and now it's gone boop, out of my
Okay.
head. Oh, she just left
That's
it.
okay.
I'll
It
come
happens to
back.
the best of us. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
For sure. Thanks, Tony. Taya?
Hi. Thank you so much, Vinny, for taking the time today out of your Saturday to do this. This was amazing, and I could listen to you all day long. My question is, I was in a homework group, and I was told only to do my top six fears. I was also told to only do my top six resentments. And I'm doing the workshop now, and I actually went beyond that and did 30 resentments. I haven't told the old homework group because I'm still in touch with the girl, but I'm thinking I probably need to do all my fears, and then I need to do the ones not associated with my resentments, right? I mean, in order to be rid of everything, and I need to do it all, not just pick and choose.
Yeah, so great question, and thank you for bringing that up, because so many people are being guided by different facilitators, different facets, and different experiences. When I read the big book and it says thorough, I only view that one way, and I can't shut it off. Now, on another perception, when you're in a workshop and you're with a homework group, you may be with a homework group that doesn't have the necessary experience that you need specifically. Okay. And that happens quite often. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nobody's bad. They can only teach you and guide you what they know. So nobody's bad and nobody's wrong in here. It's just, it doesn't match up. So the workshop is based on a lot quicker pace. The workshops are based on a quicker pace, right? And some people keep up with the workshop, no problem. They'll go right through it. They're ahead of it because they make this work that important. They make this work prioritize above everything else. If you do that, you're going to be fine, no matter who you're with. But take that to God. Take that to God and your individual sponsor, because I look at thoroughness only one way. Now, granted, if I'm in a workshop atmosphere and you're only have the capability of working with people in a short period of time, some things get pushed to the side. But if it's killing you, or it's presently in a very powerful situation that has a hold on you, it can't be pushed to the side. In that terms, I would say, listen to the workshop, fine, but find somebody that you could work with one-on-one and go through it thoroughly. Period.
And would you recommend having, so I'm still in this old workshop or homework group. I joined a new one. The problem is I struggle with letting people down and telling them that I can't continue, but I'm also doing her a disservice by staying with her because she's really not helping me. I don't have a sponsor. Should I find a sponsor as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Most importantly. So just email recovered from, talk to Michael, Mike, even Merrill. They will find you somebody, even Kathy. Reach out to those four. They will help you. They will find you, find somebody. I guarantee it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Vinny. Kirsten?
I hope it's okay if I come in again. So with me, the whole God thing historically, I've really been working at it this time because I've always kind of lied to myself, whether knowingly or not, at step three to get on with the program. Just in my own experience, I just want to run this past you, if you don't mind. I'm looking at this and I said, I get to self-reliance fails me a lot earlier because I realize that I can't help me. And then I'm afraid that no one else can help me, which is where I got to before starting this, which is I'm desperate. No human power can help me. I need God. But I forget about God very, very quickly, which is what this is showing us. I realize that. So where I straight go, I go to emotional pain, followed by suicidal ideation starts to escalate and it gets out of control and then it's there. And I can see it happening. And I'm like, when I started BBA this time, I was very consciously noticed it subsided and then it started to come back again recently because I'm noticing other things. And then I'm very afraid about psychiatrists and therapists helping me because I've been let down so many times. So I've put all my eggs in this basket and I'm not that question you ask, why am I not chasing other treatment? Because I'm putting all my eggs in this basket because I honestly believe no human power, even psychiatrists, but maybe I've just been unlucky. So there is that. But then I go so after suicidal ideation escalates, I'm not interested in afterlife or what happens next. I've just like I'm presuming I'm realizing that my faith or my relationship with God is just completely fucked, basically. If I'm there, because I'm not even thinking about God. I'm not afraid that there is no God. I'm not expressing any kind of faith in God.
Yeah, actually, great comments. So you did what I did. So I didn't even put God into the equation because that's how self-reliant I was. And that's how people reliant I was. So great. That's a great experience to have. So now the question comes when, obviously I get to self-realization fails, right? I realize self failed. Okay. And then you realize, well, no other human power is going to relieve me, right? So it would be, well, I'm afraid because no other person can help.
Even top psychiatrist.
Right. Then, okay, who can help? Am I afraid to reach out to something else? What does that look like, right? So here's the, I guess a synopsis, or it's kind of works together, kind of like a double-edged sword, right? People who are connected to this creator can help me get connected to this creator. So I sought out a psychiatrist. It didn't work out. He just wanted to give me medicine. Sit down and ask me questions, the same redundant questions. And then I found someone that relies on God, who understands the program, who wanted to see me grow.
A psychiatrist or someone else?
Psychiatrist.
Oh, I see. Okay. Someone on
So,
your page, on the right page.
exactly. So it's if we have trust, trust is a big thing. Now, if there's a fear of trusting God, that should be on the fear grid. Because in our third step, it tells us that. Right? So that should be on the fear grid. And that's okay. That's the fear I had. Right? I could believe that God's did this powerful thing in your life. I've seen it happen. But I don't trust he's going to do that with me. And what I've learned through the years is because the closer I became to relying on this power, the more painful it was. The way to the spirituality, that's why I say it's a double-edged sword. The way to spirituality is not a smooth road by any means. Harry Thiebaud says the self has to die the closer I get to the spiritual solution. And that self dying, it's painful. Extremely painful sometimes. So that's why people don't move close, don't become that so reliant, right? Because they think they're going to be a robot or whatever. There's all these ideas. So there's a fear of not trusting God because I don't know what he's up to. That was my biggest statement. Because I don't know what he's up to, or she or it. I just don't know what it's up to. And I want to know. I want a little piece of the action so I could work with him. But God's not my helper. God's not my Santa Claus. God's not my tooth fairy. I'm God's helper. And that means if I'm going to run through the fire, he's going to protect me. So that's an experience, though, right? And that you can experience that in your fear grid as you're writing it across, because I fear of trusting God. Because why are you fear of trusting God?
I don't consciously fear it. I
Yeah.
feel like I forget.
Yeah.
Does that make
We always
sense?
forget. Yeah. We all forget.
That's my
We all
problem, I
forget.
forget.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Awesome. Okay, Tony.
Here I am again. What I noticed, it was brought up. I'm hearing some, Vinny, you're answering some really great questions in such a great way. And what I noticed, is that I can't try, if I try and intellectualize my fears or this inventory, I would get stuck. And another thing I notice, and I notice it to this day, and this is where ego and self-reliance comes in, that I am thirsty for a spiritual experience. I've had the first one was unbelievable, because I was the gal that couldn't be alone. I was the gal that was afraid of everything. And when I was done, finished with amends the first time, I enjoyed being alone. Now it's one of my biggest fears. Yeah, it's crazy. So, what I was going to say is what I feel is tension, and that gets me back to my inventory. I cannot go more than a day without starting to write again. With the starting, I have to finish this because I know on the other side, I can feel that there is going to be this great experience bubbling up, and I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know it's coming. And it's going to be very, very, very deep this time. Deeper, deeper, deeper than it's ever been, because I'm going through extreme life experiences where I'm losing, slowly losing my loved ones, my parents, my husband, everybody is ill. So it's a lot different than it was before. I am relying on God to get me, to help push me and finish this work this time. And I just wanted to say that our ego never does go away, but gosh, it gets so downsized. And yeah, you know what? I experience pain going through this now. I experienced so much pain reading my first fifth step. After that, it wasn't as bad, but I can feel that it's going to be very, as painful as Susan and Suzanne and other people in my home group know. I start talking about this stuff and I start crying because I'm right in the middle of a fourth step. And that is, you're going to experience those ideations and those old. All of that old stuff, that panic, that other stuff is coming up for me now because I'm right smack in the middle of an inventory. And my experience is that I need to get to the other side, and then a lot of things will probably get down to more peace. And I don't know what it's going to look like. And that's where my faith has to come in, that God's going to be there for me. I just wanted to share that. It's more than questions for me. It's what I'm experiencing now and what I experienced before to be helpful to myself and everybody else on this in this meeting. And I just wanted to share that since it came up and I realized what I'd forgotten, so I wrote it down. Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you, Tony, for coming in. So I had an experience with Dan Sherman back in 2012. We were talking on the phone, and I was planning on meeting him at his workshop on, for the weekend, a day in the steps. So I went out and visited him, and I hung out with him for a few days. And we had this conversation about lonely, you know. And he made it very clear. He goes, "Well, you got to ask yourself, are you afraid of being alone? Or you're afraid of being lonely? They're two completely different things, and they come with their own understandings, right? Ideologies, experiences, and perceptions."
Yeah.
So I had to work on both of them individually to get down to the root cause, what was really firing all of that up. So great that you shared that. And yeah, there's a big difference in learning them both. And getting to a place of neutrality with them all was quite profound for me.
Neutrality is a key component to this work. Neutrality to a lot of the stuff that we suffer from is such a gift.
It
It's, I
is,
mean,
and we don't see it coming.
I'm neutral to some stuff, and going through this piece of work, it's not a huge inventory, but it's very, very deep. And you know, people in the program always talk about onion layers. This is one heck of an onion layer. And I mean, that's
Yeah.
why go through the work multiple times because 10,
Yeah.
11, and 12 don't cut it all, you know, for forever. At least not in my experience.
No, I got to have a new first step experience over and over again. Spirituality is real.
Thank you for sharing about Dan. I miss him, you know. All of us that knew him miss him dearly. He was a He really, really helped a lot of people. So just like you are right now with you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen to that. Thank you.
Anybody else?
So, just if anybody's understanding or wanting to understand, I don't usually do workshops on the weekends. I do this for Susie and Suzanne every year, I think. Once a year, I think I've been doing this now for a while. And whatever that date, it usually follows the workshop. Right before it, or right after it, or right during it. But yeah, once a year I do this, sometimes twice if she has a new group of women that she's taking through to work or men, whatever. But mostly I do the meetings on Tuesday evenings. So the meetings I do on Tuesday follow the actual workshop of where they're at. And it's just a Q&A. That's all it is. It's sharing my experience, strength, and hope, answering questions to the best of my ability. And what the big book is actually trying to tell us, and my experience with that. That's basically it. So, Tuesday evenings, 4:30 p.m. Pacific time is when I do. And it's usually out of reach for a lot of people because of the time. But that's my availability. But once or twice a year doing this, I have no problem with on the weekends. Usually, I meet with one of my sponsees that were on, both of my sponsees were on this call earlier. And I usually meet with one of them Saturdays at this time and one Sunday at this time. So, yeah.
We sure
Thank you.
appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you having me here. Oh, Martin, you have your hand up.
Just to thank you, Vinny. I have to go, but it's been really helpful and I appreciate you giving your time. Thank
Oh,
you very
thank you,
much. And
Martin.
thanks, everybody, for a beautiful meeting. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate
Yeah,
you.
thank you.
Yeah, thanks for reaching out to the
Thank
other
you.
people in the workshop besides just our little homework group.
Okay.
So we were able to reach more people. So thank
Yeah,
you all
great.
for coming. And
Yeah.
just look for Vinny on the WhatsApp chat.
I'm going to close
He's
out with a prayer.
That'd be great.
Awesome. Let's just take a deep breath, right? You could fold your hands. You could put your hands on your heart, whatever you choose to do, sit comfortably or not, however you feel fit. But definitely take a couple of deep breaths just to get centered. God, we just want to thank you. The most powerful prayer we ever have learned is God help me and God thank you. And for here this evening, we're here to thank you, to speak to and through each and every one of us with questions and comments and experience and knowledge of the work and the book and all that goes with it. We just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts that we know you better and help each other better. And that's the main purpose of this. Thank God for the fifth tradition. Thank God. Thank you so much for coming in to and through all of us, making the world a better place. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Vinny. Thank you for the prayer.
Thank you for
Thank
having me, guys.
you.
Thank you.
Gabby,
That's
pleasure.
awesome. Thank you.
Did you say that you come all the time, like every Saturday, or just during the workshops?
No, I only do Saturdays once or twice a year
Oh,
for
okay.
them for the workshops, but I mainly do Tuesday nights at 4:30.
Okay,
But
and what's
anytime
Tuesday
these
nights
two
at 4:30?
ladies, what's that?
What's Tuesday nights at 4:30? That's during the workshops, right?
Yeah, that's specifically to help out Mike and Michael and Merrill and whoever else is co-leading. Just, sometimes it's 30 people, sometimes it's just 12 of us, but it's to go maybe a deeper dive with questions and comments. I just read the re reread in a short spout of what they went through in the workshop and just basically hold the space for any questions and comments.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys. Much
Take
appreciated.
advantage of that.
Thank you.
Okay. All
All right,
right.
guys. I'm
Then.
going back
All
to my
right.
puppies. Have a good one.
Okay. Cool. Yes, your dogs are so cute. All
Thank you.
right. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.